There was almost nothing left but mannequins with cash, scurrying like hamsters through fields of gold and trash. And all my friends had vanished down caverns of the night, just before the edict shone through padlocked stains of light. Just some faded traces I could still recall, like it's in the alley where the years of sunsets fall. I walked on in silence, the riverboat man rose and beckoned me to follow to the fogland where he goes. But you still seem to flourish in the frenzy here below. I kept chanting verses to let my yearning go. Just some faded traces I could still recall, like it's in the alley where the years of sunsets fall. Now we float together past ruined mounds of peace, trembling near the threshold, I'm waiting on release. Just some faded traces I could still recall, like it's in the alley where the years of sunsets fall. Just some faded traces I could still recall, like it's in the alley where the years of sunsets fall. I got home at midnight, popped another brew. I was wearing camouflage to keep me safe from you. The meter kept on running, how long was there left still? I would swallow anything, grown desperate for thrill. Were we always crazy, or did we just get worse? Peace and love, a punchline, tenderness, a curse. I had pawned a necklace and found it was a fake. Then the dream of cattle cars had kept me wide awake. Out there on the avenue, five cops beat up John Doe. I swore I saw nothing, they wouldn't let me go. Crazy, did we just get worse? Peace and love, a punchline, tenderness, a curse. You rolled angry eyes at me, refused to make my bail. It was then I felt the need to break out of the jail. Well, we're always crazy. Did we just get worse? Peace and love, a punchline, tenderness, a curse. Well, we're always crazy. Did we just get worse? Peace and love, a punchline, tenderness, a curse. Peace and love, a punchline, tenderness, a curse. Peace and love, a punchline, tenderness, a curse.
So, Keeter Peters, you've been here a number of times, but I have never asked you.
Thank you.
I've never asked you the following question. When did you become a musician? Were you a 20-something rock and roller or a folky, and then turned the corner to do songwriting? How did your muse come along?
I still don't consider myself really a musician. I mean, I'm you know, musicians are people who can, hey, they can, you know, play an instrument to in whatever key to whatever song. I'm a songwriter. I'll give myself that. Yeah, you know, my girlfriend and later one and only wife, way back in the day, wrote songs. And I met her at 17, and I was just blown away that humans actually, someone I knew, could write these beautiful songs. But it took, and then maybe 10 years later, when I was out of the orbit of her and her brother, who were both quite good, I started writing myself. I'd written poetry before and other things. And then when I became a father and, you know, was a professional in New York, I stopped doing music for 15, 20. I mean, I almost did none.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and did one of those, you know, I did some kind of, maybe it was the Forum or one of those ESTE offshoot things. And one of the questions asked was, this is the way I remember it anyway, if you were on your deathbed and you were having that, oh, God, I wish I had more time to, what would it be? And I was surprised. It's like, make music. So I started writing again, and, you know, it's probably, I mean, it's been insane since then. It's maybe 20 years, and it's been 1,000 songs.
So this Keto Peters, the songwriter, starts, you're pushing 30 when you start that trajectory.
That's right. No, I was, you know, sports was my thing as a kid. I was, you know, it wasn't music at all. I mean, I loved music, but mm-hmm. what I was active in, you know, as sort of extracurricular was sports.
During that period where you were not playing, but the people around you were playing, I can understand how intimidating that could be. I spend half my time in here with wonderful musicians, you know, yourself included. So I can understand how that could cause someone to withdraw. But what was music meaning to you during the silent period as opposed to the period right after when you're first sort of finding your voice?
You know, I'm of the baby boomer 60s, and music was huge. You know, so what was going on around me musically had such an impact. You know, I mean, I think, well, this is getting more analytical, but I think there's been nothing like it in part because it was new. You know, with sort of a form was being invented, and because the music went hand in hand with political and cultural transformation. You know, but so it was, I mean, I don't know if I'm speaking to your question, mm-hmm. but that is, so it was huge to me, but it wasn't something that I could do. You know, I was trying to learn how to play John Hurt songs.
So your grounding is in blues, actually, in terms of your chords, the chords that inform you?
Maybe, you know, I've never understood the to me, the blues really pretty much was done like 50 years ago. The people who created the blues stopped, mm-hmm. mostly stopped playing the blues. White people got, you know, I mean, I'm not a big fan of the blues. There are people, I mean, I think it's amazing. There are various music forms that I think are amazing that I'm not that into, you know. Listening to Robert Johnson is still amazing. I think like Keb Moe is amazing in his sort of pop blues form. You know, but by and large, I don't listen to the blues. And I mean, the people who I loved were actually more jazz inflected. You know, I put something up on Facebook the other day about how I was listening the other morning to what I considered to be the greatest record, Hejira, uh-huh. by easily the greatest singer-songwriter of my life, Joni. You know, and people had their reactions to that.
and Hejira is jazz informed just by the playing and structures.
And Jaco, you know, yeah. playing bass. But I mean, for me, there was, you know, like Tim Hardin. I loved Tim Hardin, and he had a sort of jazz sensibility, you know. Or, I mean, later on, Gil Scott-Heron. you know, who was both doing music that I could relate to politically, and it had a jazz feel, and, you know, yeah.
And famously, Dave Von Ronk, who always insisted he was never a folk musician. He says, I just play jazz.
Really?
And a lot of the songs, the older songs, the songs that he would cover, were actually out of more Tin Pan Alley and that era than the Ride and the Rails, you know, ancient stuff. So,
I mean, the other person I have to mention from that time who, again, I don't feel like I particularly write or do anything like them, but who I just love is Laura Nyro, who still grabs my heart in a way like nobody.
Well, Dark Rain is the record, the newest record.
Yes.
Number, should we just throw out a...
Just say there have been a few before.
There have been a few before. Now, in the past, when you've gone and taken 40 songs, 50 songs that have just been just, you know, coming out of you, and you've gone and set up with a producer, and there's been a relationship behind those things. And you've talked in the past about trying to balance two producers on the same project, and or sort of two different collaborators on the same project. And Dark Rain is the record that where that really does happen. Can you talk about, because this involves some pretty, you know, pretty well-known people up in Santa Fe, how that dynamic worked out? Because I think of Santa Fe as a small place, but yet you say that John O. Manson and John Kurzweg had a nodding acquaintance with each other, but not much more.
Yeah, you know, I did make one other record that involved two sort of producers, and it didn't work out very well. And it didn't work out very well, not, I keep anticipating, the ego battle. It wasn't that. It was more like Alphonse and Gaston, you know, but no, after you. No, please, no. You know, and so there was no one, and I was less confident at that point, no one who was saying, no, this is what we're doing. So this time, you know, I have worked before with both Jono and John, both friends of mine, and... both of them wanted in, and I had my misgivings about it, and then, you know, we took a chance, and it turned out to be better than I could have imagined in terms of the synergy between the two of them. You know, as I was telling you before, one of them would start when we'd, you know, lay down basic track, me and them, and then we'd pass it to the other, and the other one go, wow, you know what I hear here is this. And then we had a meeting. It's like, okay, we've done that. What would be some overdubs? And they were minimal. And then it went back to the original person to mix.
And so, and you were lording it over them at every step.
Lording it over, yeah. You bet.
But there was none of this, okay, time to bring in the horns, because you've done some really interesting stuff with horn sections and like the inner funk man that sort of leaks out, which is really entertaining to listen to. And I don't think those records should be forgotten, because those are just, it's, I know where your basic canon is moving, but it, when you get off that path, it's like really, really interesting to hear.
Yeah, well, there were no horns on this, which meant that, I mean, usually the day that I get to work with Cesar Bovale of Son Como Son is the high point of the recording part of the record. He's amazing in so many ways, and so, but we didn't do that this time, no.
Now, what you're giving us this time are, as usual, are some brand new songs. And so these are songs of 2017, these are songs of 2017 that you're laying down live. anyone who releases a record in 2016, 2017, regardless of what the record sounds like or what it's about, it gets the question, how does it reflect on the time during which you were writing the songs and making the songs? How would you answer that?
For Dark Rain, I wrote, a huge number of songs. I was writing a song a day for weeks during the election, previously the election, during, after, I was so impacted by what was going on. It was sort of my way of keeping myself semi-sane. And so this record, more than any record I've ever made, is I let the political voice really be front and center. Because when I came back to all these songs, I mean, lyrics are really important to me, but when I come to make choices about songs, the lyrics are just sound. It's like, which of these feels good? And the ones that felt good fell into two categories. One were these big picture political songs, and my politics are, like I like to say, left of liberal, so this hasn't been necessarily for everyone. And then, but that they were kind of the scaffolding. And then I did a lot of finger-picked, more intimate songs that were like, in my mind, well, this is what it's like to live in the context that I've created in these larger political ones.
So it's like you build the structure of the house, and then you have the songs in the rooms.
Yeah, although the structure was, some of the songs were the structure. The songs, you know, the big political sort of rocking, typically more rocking songs, were kind of structure. And then in the room was the, you know, the guy with the sensitive finger picking.
But before people go, oh, a topical record, a political record, and sort of make assumptions about that, Dark Rain is the title track is a very good example of something that you have, I think, sort of insisted on in these kinds of songs, which is you're not really interested in cheerleading or letting anybody off the hook. We'll hear from the title track in a little bit, but it's like, you know, it sounds to me like, you know, this was all a Vanity Fair, you know, and people who were not at all enamored of Donald Trump were being driven by vanity just as much as the Trump voters were in some way.
In some ways, I find liberals more annoying than, I mean, I'm closer to them, but some of their ways of seeing the world, I find in some ways, in part because of that, I almost feel betrayed by certain attitudes. So that song is one in which I am kind of taking to task a more smug point of view on the world.
Everything is falling, the gravity of faith. The landing strip so crowded, we had to stand and wait. Everything is falling, the highway full of homes. Now they look the other way while I box what they stole. It's not death that scares me, it's dying hard and slow. I just hope to exit fast when it comes time to go. Everything is falling, a kingdom in the dark. Then the geese flew overhead, silence gripped the park. Everything is falling, the stars sink in the dawn. We fled from the predators, running on the lawn. It's not death that scares me, it's dying hard and slow. I just hope to exit fast when it comes time to go. Everything is falling, the reservoir bone dry. Teardrops when you came for me, so hard to say goodbye. It's not death that scares me, it's dying hard and slow. I just hope to exit fast when it comes time to go. No, it's not death that scares me, it's dying hard and slow. I just hope to exit fast when it comes time to go. When it comes time to go.
And those are some excerpts with performance of my conversation with Keto Peters recorded earlier this week in Studio C. Remember, Dark Rain is the newest album. Keto is K-I-T-O. KetoPeters.com is where you can go to find out about this and other albums and live performances. Indeed, there is a live performance on his schedule in Albuquerque, the first in forever, maybe, on the 27th as part of, it's at Winning's Coffee in Nob Hill as part of the Albuquerque Songwriter Cooperative. I'll let you know next week. We gotta confirm this because I'm not seeing it properly posted on the usual places, but I'll let you know. As far as I know, the 27th at Winning Coffee. Keto Peters will take us out. Another song from the album, Dark Rain. Linda East Brady gassing up the T-Bird, ready to take you down Route 66. She'll be getting to that momentarily. Thanks for listening. Distraction, abuse. Once we honored wisdom, night has no use. They will steal with lawyers. They will steal with guns. An appetite that's endless, lured by where the savage. We had wars and jealousy. We struggled to survive. Times were never easy, but we were so alive. Grown in tea. Once this land was sacred, before the paints and grill. They will steal with lawyers. They will steal with guns. An appetite that's endless, lured by where the savage wants. An appetite that's endless, lured by